Are you an entrepreneur that would like to quickly free up and create more cash flow and lasting wealth? Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. Chris Miles is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Chris will teach you how to create more freedom and more prosperity right now, not about saving 25 to 40 years from now. It's all about creating wealth and prosperity today. He's been featured on U.S. News, CNN Money, Bankrate.com, interviewed internationally on TV and radio, and has a high reputation for getting his clients fast, life-altering financial results with his company, Money Ripples. Learn more at MoneyRipples.com. Now, here's your host, Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Welcome you again to a wonderful show. As a reminder, check out our website, MoneyRipples.com, especially where we got a great ebook, Beyond Rice and Beans, 7 Secrets to Free Up Cash Today that you can download for free. That's on there. Give some of the greatest tips that have helped my clients free up on average at least $34,000 a year. And that's not even including the passive income, like things we've talked about in this show. So anyways, check that out. There's also great blogs on there too. In fact, even a blog that even will kind of support today's conversation. So especially when you're looking at the typical stuff. So anyways, hey, I wanted to talk about today because, oh man, this is a question I get so often. And this is the thing that even my own clients will struggle with sometimes in seeing this vision. Because, you know, people are like, okay, I got to get to that freedom number, right? Like I got to get to that point where I can replace my expenses, where I'm out of the rat race. So how do I do it? Like I got to save up millions. And you know what? You're usually right, especially if you take the typical financial advisor's advice. So I was talking to a client even just yesterday and she was saying, you know, Chris, my financial advisor, he doesn't want me to cash out this money from my mutual funds because he says that I need growth. And in her case, she's like, I've got a certain amount of money that I want to turn in 8 years to $5,000 a month. And I told her, I said, well, based on the things that he's saying or the things he would probably offer, at best, that money would have to about octuple. So it'd have to grow by 8 times at minimum, if not even a little bit more than 8 times, just so that she could hit that goal. And I was like, well, good luck having that, you know, basically octuple, you know, in 8 years. I mean, that would be seriously like I told her, like, that's almost a 30% cash on cash rate of return. And that's just not likely, you know, especially with mutual funds where they at best, you know, usually on average over a 30-year period, average about 7.5% with an actual yield, not the average rate of return, but the actual yield. And I said, and we're even at the court towards the top of the market. So who's to say even the next 8 years will even be that much? So I told her, I was like, yeah, ask if he'll guarantee he can get you there because that's what you need. He's right. You need growth, but that's not the way to do it. And the thing I had to really bring up for her is that it's about cash flow, not about accumulation. It's not about just growing your money and then living on the interest. It's about how you create cash flow. Now, this first hit home for me like in 2006 when I was able to first retire because I didn't have a ton of money in the bank. I didn't have any investments. I'd already cashed them out. I'd just come out of a rough patch, you know, being a financial advisor. I remember I was, if some of you have heard other episodes, there was even a point like in 2004, for example, when I was out there picking up change in a drive-through parking lots thinking I can make money while people sleep. And I was doing that at midnight or 2 a.m. and that wasn't working, right? And so I was trying to rebuild. And so I just started to get some good money coming in. And so I remember trying to think, oh, how do I do that? Now, I wasn't thinking about how to get out of the rat race. I was thinking I'd have to save up a couple million dollars, then live on the interest. That was my mindset. But what was happening unintentionally was that I kept asking the question, how do I create value for people? How do I create value? How do I create a win-win? And what ended up happening is from an idea that I got from one of my millionaire friends was, hey, why don't you split deals with people? Why don't you basically become a referral source for them? You do what you love, which was teaching, but then let them do the work. So like, for example, with mortgages, I was splitting the deal with a mortgage broker that was great at the paperwork, but I didn't care to do the paperwork, but he was great with the underwriting. So I'd let him do that. And I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. Cause now I'm teaching people for a half hour or an hour about the kind of mortgage they can get, probably more like, not much more than half an hour to an hour. And then a month or so later, I'm getting a check for $1,000 or $1,500 from the deal that the guy ended up closing, and they're happy, he's happy, and as a result, I'm even happy. And I thought, man, I could do that with other people. And so I started referring to other places, even certain stores, like a jeweler and things like that. And like a life insurance guy that I was using at the time and things, you know, I was just saying, hey, where can I split deals for people I would send referrals to anyways? And I was monetizing that. And just so you know, that's exactly how I got out of the rat race, because the next thing I know, within a few months, I'm making at least $4,000 to $5,000 a month just being what some people would say being an affiliate, right? I was just doing very organic referrals. And that blew my mind, because I only had, you know, in savings, I had a few thousand bucks in the savings account, but nothing big. You know, I was positive cash flow, but now the money was starting to really, really come in, you know, especially with some of these things that were closing. So March of 06 is when I quit being a financial advisor. April of 06 is when I got the idea. And by June and July of 06, I was able to be out of the rat race. And that blew my mind, because I'm like, wait a minute, financial freedom does not require you to live on the interest. It's all about the cash flow. Now, granted, that was an active stream of income. You know, I get a lot of people to ask, well, what about the passive side, Chris? Well, a passive side does require a little bit of savings, but it's not as bad as you think. And that's the good news, because it's ridiculous. And there, like I mentioned just at the beginning of the show, there's a blog I have talking about, well, how much do you have to save if you want to have a $60,000 a year lifestyle? And I include, you know, inflation numbers. I talk about the market. I think I was talking about the market even returning 7%, which is pretty high after fees and everything else. And then with taxes and everything else. For example, if you wanted to retire in 20 years and you want to have a $60,000 a year lifestyle today, and you only live on 3% of the money. Remember, financial advisors tell you to accumulate money and then live on 2 or 3% of that money. So if you accumulate $1 million, they're saying don't pull out more than $20,000 or $30,000 a year. Granted, there might be some annuities that you might be able to, you know, pull out more, you know, where the heck it can give you a stream of income if you annuitize them and that sort of thing. But you know, for the most part, they're telling you if you're going to save up in IRAs, you're going to have to live on no more. I would say 3%. It used to be 4%, but even that rule became a little bit high if you don't want to run out of money with inflation and everything, right? So they said 2 or 3% is pretty typical now. So $20,000 or $30,000 a year from $1 million is not a lot, is it? And if you think about 30 years down the road, if that's your goal, oh my goodness, that, I mean, with inflation, you might be looking at, you know, that's like, I mean, there's going to be high school students making that much. I guarantee it. With inflation, there'll be high school students making at least $20,000 or $30,000 a year. And you're going to be making like a high school student, but you're supposed to be retired as a millionaire, right? And so I'd show like, hey, you have to save almost like $10 million to live on a $60,000 a year lifestyle. You're going to be saving about $10,000 a month, not a year, per month to hit that. And so I thought, okay, well, let's do it more like the people I talk to, where they're saying, hey, I want financial freedom faster. And they might even have some money too available that they've been using. But I want this to be an inspiration even for those who feel like you're in the beginning of this journey, because it doesn't take a lot to create a lot if you have the right leverage. So I said, let's take like this 40-year-old. So I just took this person in my mind, like a 40-year-old person. They have $100,000 in savings. They're earning their whopping 0.25% from their bank per year, right? And then they also have been saving. They're going to start saving they're also starting with $100,000, and in an IRA, right? IRA or 401k, doesn't matter. So they have $100,000 savings, $100,000 IRA or a 401k, and they're adding $25,000 a year to this money. So basically, you know, and they're doing this for 15 years. So in this case, $25,000 a year times 15, $375,000, right? That they invest total over these 15 years. Now I have them earning a 6% interest rate, because I think in 15 years, 6% is pretty believable. I think it could happen. I can't guarantee that in the stock market, but you know, that's what we're saying. So you got $100,000 earning 0.25% in the bank. You know, that's just their liquid savings. And then they got $100,000 plus $25,000 a year that they're adding earning at 6%. So what do they end up with? Well, the savings turns into $102,000 and, you know, $102,800, almost $103,000 after 15 years. Not impressive, right? The rest of the money that they're really hoping for, is the IRA money. And the IRA money grew. And so, they invested $375,000, but it grew to $856,000. Now, if you take that 3%, that cash flow, that's $25,000 a year. However, you got to pay taxes when you put money in IRA. That's the one big misconception. Everybody thinks that, oh, I get a tax break of this IRA or this 401k. No, you don't. You're just delaying taxes. And right now we're about one of the lowest tax rates in the last century. And you're saying, let's avoid taxes now for, you know, when they say, ooh, you know, the bill's got to be paid. We got to somehow pay for these programs and stuff and all this government spending. So, all right, let's raise taxes now. So we're talking about, you know, raising taxes. Most likely taxes will be higher later. And even if they aren't higher, if they somehow miraculously keep them the same rate, guess what? Just because of inflation alone, which in 15 years, I guarantee the inflation will be at least double of what you're spending today. You know, just because inflation alone, you're going to have to be in a higher tax bracket. You're going to have to spend more money to survive. And unless you're somebody who's living, you know, making way tons of money, way beyond what your means, you know, you're like, man, I'm just raking in money. I don't even need a small portion of this. Yeah, maybe that would work. Maybe that would work in your favor. But for the most part, for most of you are saying, hey, this is kind of a good lifestyle now. And most of you don't want to ramp down your lifestyle where you get cheaper, where you try to live more cheaply over time. Because as time goes on, it's likely that you might have more medical expenses. It's also likely they won't have as many write-offs because your kids will probably be growing up or grown up by that point and out of the home, right? And so there's all these factors that would probably put you in a higher tax bracket regardless, whether you want to or not. Even if you don't try to spend a lot, it'll probably happen. So if you factor in after taxes, the cash flow that you're getting from this, you know, almost $1 million that you got to is about $20,000 a year. You know, I calculated being about $20,000 a year for that. So there you go, guys. You just put in $25,000 a year for 15 years after already having a little bit of a foundation of money, you know, about $100,000 in savings and $100,000 in your IRA or 401k. And after adding $25,000 a year, guess what? You're still making $20,000 a year. Okay, so not horrible, but definitely not impressive. With inflation, that will feel more like $10,000 a year. So what's the alternate path? You're probably like, okay, Chris, we got it. It stinks. Yes, it does. All right, so what's the alternative? Okay, well, here's the alternative. You know, as I said, what if I just took one example? And by the way, this is one reason why financial advisors won't use this example because it's freaking hard to do. I'll tell you, when I ran these calculations, running the IRA calculations took me at most a couple minutes just to do. Half of it was just me creating the scenario. So a couple minutes to run the numbers and give you the cash flow, right? This next scenario took me about an hour because I had to like make it as real as possible saying I'm going to invest in real estate. So instead of $25,000 a year into an IRA, I'm like, what would happen if I just put that towards real estate? So I had $100,000 in savings. We had that, of course. Now, the $100,000 in savings, I did more like what I would teach my clients to do, which is, and we did a show on this earlier where I said, you know, hey, I'm going to split up the savings a little bit. Sure, we'll keep some of the bank. So $10,000, that $100,000 stays in the bank at 0.25%. $25,000, that I put in an online savings account earning 2%. And some of these online savings accounts right now are earning more than 2% that I know about. And then the other $65,000, we get that into the life insurance policy, like the Whole Life I've told you about, where you can create a whole banking thing from that. And that's earning about 4% tax-free. And so that $65,000 actually just about doubles over those 15 years. So that one actually goes from $65,000 to $117,000 in 15 years. Your total savings, instead of being about $103,000, ends up being over $158,000. So that's already there. You're a big winner, right? I mean, it's not enough to make you free, but that's definitely a good help. If you're going to have money liquid and available for emergencies, and actually you're creating more money that you could even invest with. Now we have that money. So that one already is, you know, already you're doing pretty good. Investing the $100,000, you know, that was in the IRA. It's like, hey, it's in the IRA. What if we don't cash it out? Now you could cash it out, take the hit, and then invest it how you want and still create more. But I thought I'm going to keep these numbers easy for me. Investing the $100,000, and I'm just going to put it into notes. You know, and you can find notes out there for 10 to 12%. I said, let's look at 10% a year. That's there's so many people offering 10%. I've even talked with people on the show that are offering 10% notes. And so that 10%, you know, and they just pay you, you know, just pay you for that, right? That one ends up growing to, after 15 years, to $317,725. So right there. I mean, now you've got, and by the way, that's also creating cash flow because it's paying you 10%, right? You already know it's paying you that much. That already is paying you $31,772 a year. So already by this point, you've already beaten the, and this is pre-tax, of course, right? So that's already beating the $25,000 from saving the $100,000 plus $25,000 a year for 15 years, right? So the extra $375,000, you didn't even need it. All you need is better leverage and a better return. That's all it took. That's just with $100,000. Now we got the whole $25,000 a year still, right? Well, we haven't even done that yet. Well, we invest that in real estate. And we're just buying turnkey properties. So I'm not talking about doing anything major, no fix and flips, nothing like that. No Airbnb rentals like we talked about before in the show. You know, nothing like that. This is just simple turnkey with properties that are just like what's out there today, which the properties aren't even returning huge amounts. They're still good returning properties, by the way, but not great. And so most of these properties were in about the 11%, you know, cash on cash return range, you know. But here's the thing about real estate, and I've mentioned this before. You get four different types of returns. It's not just the cash on cash return with the cash flow you make, which is every month, right? So you're making that cash flow, and I said 11% average. And I was factoring out, taking out for, you know, maintenance costs, for vacancy rates, in case somebody, you know, is in transition or moves out and you don't have a renter right away, things like this, right? And so we got to make sure we factor in for that kind of stuff. So yeah, I was right around 11%-ish, you know, when it starts out. But here's the cool thing is that one thing that's nice with rent is as inflation grows, so do your rent costs. So the thing that you charge for rent, they expect rent to go up, if not every year, at least every other year or so. And so you have that inflation hedge, right? You've also got the fact that the property also builds equity. I call it phantom cash flow because every time your renter makes their rent payment, they're technically giving you the money to pay down your mortgage. So your principal is being paid down little by little. It's not dramatic, but it's enough that adds an extra rate of return there. Plus, if you even get any kind of appreciation, that's a huge bonus. And we're not even talking about tax breaks. I didn't even talk about that. I mainly just looked at the tax breaks from the standpoint that you're going to pay a lot less in taxes doing real estate than you will with your IRA. So anyways, so $25,000 a year, you're buying up properties. And I mapped this all out, like which years. I mean, you were kind of starting out slowly, buying just one property a year, you know, and I was including closing costs. That's one thing a lot of people in the real estate realm won't factor. I was like, nope, I got to buy, for $25,000, that's a $100,000 property with $5,000 closing costs. That uses up, you know, my down payment and closing costs right there, $25,000. But just taking the cash flow and reinvesting it. And here's what happens, guys. This is what's so freaking cool. Is that after the 15 years, and by the way, every 7 years with the properties I bought, I would reposition them, meaning I would sell them because there would be equity built up from paying down your mortgage. Plus, if there's any appreciation, I only factor like 3% appreciation a year. So think about this, $100,000 property you bought this year, next year inflates to a whopping $103,000. That's the kind of thing numbers I was running on this. Okay. So not unbelievable. Sometimes with those price points, it could be like 5%. But again, I want to factor in that this is all conservative, that we don't count on a lot of appreciation just to make my point. Okay. So yes, these numbers could be better than what I illustrated, and I'm cool with that. So here's what happens. You did that and you even repositioned, sold off those properties. You might even bought like fourplexes or duplexes after that because you had extra cash. After 15 years, your total cash flow, you ready for this? Total cash flow equaled $128,939. Oh, sorry, wrong number. I skipped ahead. No, it wasn't that one. Oh, no, actually it was. That was the number. Sorry, I have a bunch of different totals here. $128,939. So about $129,000 a year is what you end up coming out with. $129,000 a year. That's almost $11,000 a month of cash flow, right? Remember, in the IRA example, doing the same thing, right? You know, we had about $20,000 after taxes. Now, remember, we still had the $31,000 then we invested in notes. Oh, and by the way, we also had the life insurance. So we used that at the very end. I did that in the 15th year. I was like, hey, let's buy two more single family homes with the life insurance. So I didn't even use the life insurance until the very end, partly because I didn't want to like have to do massive amounts of math on that too. And so I wasn't even leveraging the life insurance until the 15th year to say, hey, we got some extra cash. Let's go ahead and utilize it and create the cash flow from it. So only bought two single family homes with it. Didn't use a lot of money. Kept most of the $100,000 plus intact for emergency reserves. So that you said, hey, I've got $100,000 sitting around in savings, but they're just returning better than sitting in the bank. So what happens, that total with the course, the $100,000 that we invested at that 10% note, right, is $160,711 bucks per year. Now that right there alone is pretty awesome, right? $160,000 versus, you know, $25,000. You know, and that's before tax. Now, $160,000 is going to have more tax advantages than the $25,000. Well, the good news is you might say, hey, you're in a higher tax bracket. That's true. Thank goodness. I want to be in a higher tax bracket. The good news is also with passive income and real estate, you can offset a lot of those costs with different types of things like depreciation or even cost segregation, which is a way to speed up depreciating your property and stuff. And there's all kinds of things you do to minimize the taxes anyways. But regardless, even if we look at before tax, $25,000 or $160,000, which one would you prefer? I know it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that number out. It's pretty obvious, isn't it? That's what I'm talking about. See, everybody's talking about saving up all this money and accumulating it over time and then hopefully living off enough interest. And it's depressing. As a financial advisor, I was depressed when I would have to show those numbers. And so I would have to do things like, let's adjust inflation because that's depressing. I can't show 3% inflation, which, by the way, is low in my opinion. You know, I didn't want to show that, so I'd show maybe 1 or 2%. You know, I try to show something because I wanted to be a little bit realistic. I didn't want people to think, oh, yeah, I'll have this much. Because I said, you know, in 15 years, it's pretty likely that your inflation rate will be about double. It could be more than that. It could have done more than double. But I would say, conservatively speaking, a double is not a high an over expectation of what inflation has done already, especially with how money's been printed by the government and things like that. Your real rate inflation can be case by case anyways. You can have extra costs that happen in your life just because life happens. So there's all kinds of things that can happen. So even then, $160,000 is still like an $80,000 a year lifestyle. Remember, you were putting away $25,000 a year. And this is only 15 years out. We're not even talking about compounding or anything else. Plus, honestly, I didn't want to go beyond 15 years because it already took me a good, I would say, hour or two to even do these calculations for you. So this is why I'm actually working on trying to create software right now that can help me with this, because it's a pain in the butt when my clients say, hey, Chris, can you illustrate this out? Can you show me like in 5, 8, 10 years what this will look like or longer? It's like, oh, I could, you know, it's hard to do, you know, it's time consuming because honestly, there's not even financial software that does that kind of stuff that I want it to do, like with real estate calculations. I actually did use a real estate calculator to do all this, but it still took time because I had to buy properties. I was buying properties almost every year during those 15 years in this example. So that takes a lot because now you're like having all these moving parts. But that's so cool though. It didn't take a lot. I mean, think about buying one property a year in real life is nothing. You will feel so slow. In fact, in those first few years, you're like, oh man, I made $8,000 a year. Woohoo. You know, whoop-de-doo, right? You're not thinking anything great after a couple of years. You're like, that's not hardly any passive income. But man, after you hit like that year 7 and 8 and stuff, it gets incredible. Because the beautiful thing with real estate is that, man, it can grow exponentially, especially because there's so many different types of returns. And guys, like I said, this is not counting like what you can create with business streams of income, maybe creating passive streams or residual streams within your businesses. This is not counting doing active investing like some of the guys we've had on the show where they do some active real estate investing and make much higher returns than what I'm showing here. That's the beauty of this is that, guys, there is hope. There is definitely hope for real freedom. But it requires you to deny everything that you've been taught by financial advisors, everything you've been taught by those so-called gurus that are on TV or on the radio that tell you this is the path you have to take because they're being bought out by mutual fund companies and other companies telling you that that's where you're supposed to invest in your dumb 401k that, ooh, I get the 100% match, which we've already shown the 100% match can't even keep up, especially with real estate. We did that show last year, right? It doesn't matter if you get the match. It doesn't make hardly a squat of difference, especially after the 5th, 10th, 15th years and so on, right? It doesn't make that much of a difference. So my point is, guys, like I remember what it was like to be the guy that was calculating all these numbers as a financial advisor. And this is why I had to become an anti-financial advisor, because you cannot have hope in that system. There's way too much you have to pack away and put away. And by the way, if you've been packing away a lot of money into your IRAs or 401ks, this might be the time to stop right now because this could be costing you your freedom. The good news is there's still things you can do with your IRAs and 401ks to still generate better money than what you're trying to hope to accomplish, especially when the market started taking away a whole bunch of money and you're just hoping for a little recovery in the last month and a half after the market tanked about, you know, 15% or so. And so now you're hoping for a recovery and you're trying to make some of that money back. Guys, this is the time to claim your freedom. This is the time. If you've got questions for me, you can email me, chris@moneyripples.com. But I'm here to tell you that there is a better path to freedom, and it does not require you to gamble your money in the stock market. You can do it in a much safer and better way. This is Chris Miles signing off. You have a wonderful and prosperous week. We'll see you later.
Thanks for listening to The Chris Miles Money Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and make us a part of your daily routine. And check out our blogs and learn more about Chris, his services, and how we can help you at MoneyRipples.com. Join us next time on The Chris Miles Money Show.